Well, Senator Bennett, let me start off by asking you, do you think that Senator Hatch's reelection is basically guaranteed at this point, or what are your thoughts?
Oh, I've long since learned that nothing is guaranteed in politics. But right now, and I have not seen any polls, so this is just a guess, but right now I think his victory in the primary looks pretty good. And given the fact that he will be running in a presidential year with Mitt Romney at the head of the ticket in the state that has the history of being the most Republican in the country, I would think he'd do pretty well in the general election.
What did Senator Hatch do to turn things around for his campaign? What did he do to get his people out to those precinct meetings and make the convention turn out the way he did, with him almost walking away with the nomination outright?
Well, number one, he started early. We started early back in 2010. In historic terms, we started earlier than people usually do. But given the anger that was building in Utah and that came to a crashing crescendo on the night that the delegates were chosen, that's the night that Barack Obama signed the Health Care Act. And it was on the television, and Utahns, particularly Utah Republicans, were madder that night than I think any other night in the year. And they all turned out with a determination, throw out all of the incumbents. And that was the night. It was over for me. We thought we were extremely well organized, but we simply couldn't overcome that kind of a backlash to that particular event. Senator Hatch started virtually after my defeat, right after my defeat in 2010, and certainly worked for a longer period of time. I don't think he worked any harder than we did. Well, I guess he did, because he had more people going at it for a longer period of time. So that played a significant role. In addition to Senator Hatch's campaign's very hard work, in 2012, there was not the galvanizing event of the passage of Obamacare that occurred in 2010, and there had been a very clear diminution of, shall we say, fervor among the Tea Party types. You saw that in the governor's race, for example, when at one point they were threatening to defeat Governor Herbert because he signed the immigration bill.
Right.
And by the time you got to the caucuses, that had pretty well drained out, and nobody was feeling that kind of fervor. And then the other event, which had an enormous impact, was the statement by the LDS Church that no meetings should be held on that night, and the statement that was repeated week after week, with a lot of people saying, well, it's my duty to go in 2012, and the numbers showed it. In 2010, the turnout was 75,000. In 2012, the turnout was 125,000, with many people showing up and saying, I don't know why I'm here, but the brethren told me I should be. And I think that worked to Senator Hatch's benefit.
Can I ask, when you went to the convention this year and received a very warm welcome, could you help but think, you know, if only it had been like this 2 years ago?
You know, I didn't think like that, because I have made the adjustment to my present life, and it's very pleasant adjustment. As I talk to my colleagues in the Senate, they're grumbling and complaining. Nothing's getting done. We've got gridlock. We're at each other's throats ideologically. And I'm thinking, why would I want to be there? So when I was invited to come to the convention in 2012, my reaction was, I don't think so. I don't need to go. And so many people urged me to go because they said it is going to be very different. And we want you to come. We want to show you gratitude, thanks, et cetera, for your service. And frankly, I was very, very touched and honored by the way the convention reacted to me. So it puts a much nicer closure on my political career than if I had been left with what happened in 2010. But no, I didn't walk away with any feelings of, gee, if you'd only been around here, you know, I'd still be a senator.
Yeah.
Those disappeared about a week after I lost in 2010.
And finally, Senator, I'm curious to get your thoughts on the defeat of somebody that you worked with during your 18 years in office, Indiana Senator Dick Lugar, a very different outcome for him than we saw for Senator Hatch, at least so far. What are your thoughts on his loss and what that means for, I guess, the Republican Party right now?
Well, Senator Lugar was the predominant foreign relations voice among Republicans in the Senate, and he has a long history of foreign policy accomplishments. One of his problems in Indiana, and I think it would have been a problem elsewhere, is that the voters don't much care about foreign policy anymore.
Huh.
The kinds of things that he was involved in, nuclear disarmament, that's not an issue on anybody's mind. And Senator Lugar would have a hard time getting off those issues and talking about things that would be more relevant in the minds of current voters. His age played a role in this election. He is 80, and any retailer knows 80 is a lot older than 79, somehow, just psychologically. And the other thing which his opponent exploited, when he went to the Senate, he was not a wealthy man. He sold his house in Indiana and did not buy another one.
Right.
So he has a postal residence, if you will, in Indiana, but he doesn't have a physical residence. Well, he's been reelected five times without that being a problem, reelected four times without that being a problem. And this time, his opponent turned that into a symbol of his having lost touch with his constituents. And he didn't have a really good explanation for it. I think he should have bought a house. Said, okay, I heard you, and now I've got a house. But he didn't, so he was explaining, and all of those things, his age, his lack of a residence there, his area of expertise being somewhat different, played into the defeat that he finally felt.
Three-term U.S. Senator Bob Bennett, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.